Welcome to Champion Center Podcast. We believe that by continued listening, you can grow relationally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Listen in now on this worship experience already in progress.
As I talk to you, I'm going to talk to you about our vision, and I'm going to share vision, but I want to do it within the context of what I call the pioneering spirit. Because I want us to think of vision as more than something that we see and just walk away from. I want us to see vision as something that we do. Proverbs 29 and verse 18, the Bible says this about vision. It says, where there is no vision, people perish. In other words, you'll never have life, you'll definitely never have abundant life if you don't have vision. You began to perish the day vision is absent in your life. And what's true for us individually is also true for us as the church. Genesis 13, God told Abram to lift up his eyes and to look out at the land in front of him. And then God told him that all of the land in front of him, the wild, untamed, rugged, dangerous Judean hills, that was land that was waiting for him and his children to occupy. I've read that many times, and I've imagined it, and I've thought about what it might have felt like for Abram that day. As God said, I'm giving you that land, because God wasn't saying, I'm going to go plow the field for you. I'm going to build your houses or your barns. He was saying to him, I'm creating an opportunity for you and your children to move forward. And as far as your vision can see, you can occupy. And in fact, I want you and your children to occupy that land. A pioneer is a person who goes into new territory. A person who moves back the boundaries. We've been talking about moving back the boundaries. And sometimes you move the boundaries back internally, and other times you move the boundaries back externally, but actually they go together. So I've been talking about moving back boundaries of fear in our life, and moving back boundaries of past experiences in our life. But on this weekend, I want to go a step further, and I want to say when we move back those internal boundaries, what begins to happen is that we have an opportunity then to move back external boundaries and to move our lives into a new place and into a new season and into new territory. There's a man in the Bible that prayed a prayer. His name was Jabez. And he boldly stood before God. And he said, bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. And God did not get angry at him for having that. He wasn't like, well, what's wrong with what you got? But the Bible says God blessed him, and he did exactly that. He heard his prayer, he answered his prayer, and he enlarged his territory. So heaven responds to vision. Heaven responds to people who have a vision and they look to heaven for guidance and direction to do the will of God and to expand their own influence and their own territory. I want to begin today talking about what I call the vision of Think Three. I introduced this first to our church, I think, 4 years ago. And our vision is that all of us would think at least three generations into the future. All of us, no matter what age you are, not just older people, but young people, that all of us would make a commitment that we're going to live our lives thinking at least three generations into the future. In other words, we would have a long-term vision for God's house, and we would gather with that in mind, and we would give with that in mind, and we would worship with that in mind. It wouldn't just be about now. It wouldn't just be about here. It wouldn't be just about us. We have some pictures today of children that gather for worship, and the numbers we showed earlier, a little less than 3,000 children that are active in attending our churches right now, our locations right now. And then if you'll notice, they landed here. I asked them to land here and stay here. At this picture, this is my grandson. His name is Cody. Cody is 3 years old. Cody was a part of the cast of Scrooge the Musical. The team gathers before the performance and they pray that God might be here, the presence of God might be here, and they worship. He didn't know that picture was being taken. Can you imagine how I felt when I saw those chubby little arms, short arms, his hat on, and then you can see, can't see his whole face, but you can see a little bit enough. You can see that his eyes are closed. And I wanted you to see this because I want you to understand we should never underestimate how heaven connects with a child. Somebody say think three. Say it again, say think three. He's already connecting with heaven, which means that he's already beginning, and God's already beginning to do something in his heart to set the direction of his life. He's singing church songs. He's what we call a church kid. He wears sweatshirts and t-shirts and hoodies that say church kid. I'm a church kid. And I'm proud that my grandson is a church kid. And I'm proud that he's proud to be a church kid. I didn't get Cody at 3 years old to this spot by myself. I mean, I'm quite a papa. I am a really good one. And he's got an amazing Gigi and incredible mom and dad. But I just want you to understand that a child doesn't get to that moment by just having a good family, by just having a mom or a dad who professes their faith. A child gets to that moment by being a part and in an atmosphere of the church. If you're bothered by abortion, if you're bothered by children growing up without fathers and mothers, if you're bothered by all of the negative influences that our children are growing up with, if when you look in their faces you see potential, but you know that it's a wild, wild jungle that they step into day after day, I want to ask you to be part of the vision of Think Three. First of all, I want to ask you, I want to urge you, bring your kids every week, at least once a week, not just to attend, but with the determination on your part that you're going to connect your children to the church. That means you can't be marginal. That means you can't be running it down. That means you can't be talking about me and how long I preach. That means you can't be a skeptic. On behalf of children, on behalf of your children and their friends in the future, I want to ask you to make a decision. You don't take your children to school once a week and expect them to get an education. And I want to ask you to change if you are only bringing them occasionally or when it's convenient. I want to ask you to join us in the vision that we're doing something significant to plant seeds into children's lives. And the church can't do it by ourselves. And parents aren't meant to do it by themselves. But together, we can create a powerful alliance that will impact your children and other children's life. Hundreds of children, thousands of children. I want to ask you to consider joining our kids' church team. Men. Strong men. Tough men. Real men. I don't want our boys going into our classrooms and looking around and only seeing women. I want them to look around and see men. Come on, David. You guys know what I'm talking about? David was a stone slinger, giant facing, headband wearing Rambo, fighting people off on the right and on the left who sat down and played the harp and worship God without any sort of hesitation or intimidation. Men, you can impact the life of children. Join us. Older men, your hand going out over a child's head and affirming them. Grandparents, some of you are saying, man, thank you, Pastor Kevin, for the Think 3 vision. My kids love their classes. My kids love our church. They're learning. They're growing. Thank you. But maybe you don't know what you can do. Think about maybe joining our Legacy Givers team. This is a group of people who give above and beyond their tithe to resource the vision of the house moving forward. It's called the Legacy Giving Team. You can ask about it, find out more about it. My point is that sometimes when you're young, you don't have the resources to do what you'd like to do. But as you get a little bit older, you have the ability. Pray about it. Think about it. I love seeing our kids wear church merch that says Church Kid. Buy them for your kids. Put them on your kids. Let them wear it proudly. If you're a musician, you like to sing, don't be too big to volunteer to lead worship in the children's service. I hope our best musicians, some of our best talent, will just put their life out there so that little children with stubby arms, only 3 years old, can enter into a place of worship and honor toward God. Do you understand the vision I'm talking about? Pastor John and Haley went to be our campus pastors in DuPont. And a new youth pastor has come to Central Campus. His name is Cabe. Cabe's from Alabama. Cabe's amazing. And we're so excited about a new generation of young people. All of our campuses right now are shifting into new leaders. This is a great time for young people to step into your place, be part of leadership team, be a student that has a sense of purpose in helping other young people. Let me just say this. If you're a student, I'm asking you to help us be a church that has a strong youth culture. We don't want to be your grandma's church. Now, what I mean by that is we're glad grandma comes, and she's glad. If she comes to Champion Center, that means she loves what I'm talking about right now. She knows what I'm talking about. She doesn't want to be stuck in time. Your grandpa, he's so happy that you're here and you love your church So what I'm saying to you is, we're not wanting to be dated, and we're not wanting to be old. We are a church for every generation. And I'm asking you, help us be a young church, a relevant church that helps young people live strong for God in high school, in college, young adults loving, serving Jesus, unashamed of Jesus. I'm talking about the vision of the house today. So we've got, small group interaction during the week for youth. We've got here at campus and during the week, we've got small groups meeting in different places, talk it outs. We've got one big night, five more this year. We've got a summer camp coming up. We haven't had one in years, and we've got one coming up for young people. A getaway coming in July. You'll hear more about it. Isn't that awesome? But somebody say it again, think three. Say it again, think three. Say it one more time, think three. And by the way, thank you to all of the foundation, all of you involved who are reaching out beyond the borders of our church with compassion and love into our city, into our community to help the marginalized, the compromised. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We're believing God for greater territory in the upcoming year. I want to talk to you today about the settler versus the pioneer. In the rest of my time, I want to talk about the two things, because when I talk to you about what we're doing in-house, there's always a tension between what we're doing in church, and I call that settling. It's a settlement, basically, here. Somebody pioneered and created a settlement. People have pioneered to get us to where we are right here. And then what happens is that there's a tension that always exists in the church between our own individualized health, our children, care for me, take care of me, what's in this for me, and that mindset just grows within the church. And many of you are consumers. I'm sorry, no apology, I'm just being honest. You have a consumer mindset and you come to church that way. I'm glad you come. I hope you keep coming. But I just want you to understand that you are part of and caught up in a consumeristic mindset that God never planned for you to be a part of. You coming back next week? I don't know, but I'm here to tell you truth. So it's really easy to slip into, and it doesn't make you a bad person. It makes you unaware that you're not in your best space and place by just being a consumer. And consumers can get really self-oriented. Now, what happens in this tension is that within a settlement, people are thinking so much of themselves that pretty soon the pioneering spirit can be lost. And the pioneering spirit in the Bible is called the Great Commission. In Mark 16, Jesus said, go to all the world. Go to all the... Somebody shout world.
World.
Say it again, world.
World.
One more time, world.
World.
And preach the gospel to all creation. So the tension is between settling, thinking about ourselves and having a good church, which we want to have the best, and we want to meet people's needs. And there's no problem with you asking, are my children being taught? Are they being cared for? Do I have a small group? Absolutely. Great. But there's this other element that we never want to lose, and that is the pioneering spirit. We're not here to just build settlements and stay in them. We're meant to be pioneering, to keep sending, and to keep going. And that's why on a day like this, we celebrate a new location, because we're going into the world. And the mission of the church is the most important mission on the planet, which is why we can't have a settling spirit. We have to keep a pioneering spirit. If you look at the world today, we've got a picture of the globe. There's 7.6 billion people on the planet alive today. That's a lot of people. If you shrink that down to the Northwest, we've got the region of the Northwest, and then you pull it in a little bit closer to where we are, and you see the state of Washington. Pull a little closer, and you'll see the Seattle-Tacoma region. Now, see all the dots on the picture? Okay, all these dots have a number in them, and basically these are people that in the last 2 years, they are active households with Champion Center in our region. It's pretty amazing. the amount of households. And we purge this and we try to keep it current. But this could never happen a few years ago before technology. It could have never taken place. So all of you who are at our online campus today, this is your day for me to get to talk to you as well, talk about you. We're so glad that our online campus is growing and that more and more people are a part of our online campus. And I want to help our church family to understand that church online is not meant to be is not meant to replace physically gathering together. Even last weekend, we had someone who came, one of our team members told me, we had someone who came who had been at our online campus attending it, and they came to our physical location here in Tacoma, and they said, wow, like everything I was enjoying and was blessed by online, it is so much better by actually coming and being here in person. And we couldn't agree more. Like, you can't beat being here physically. And we're going to continue to urge everyone together with other believers. There's nothing that replaces the actual physical presence of interacting and engaging and fellowshipping and being part of God's family physically. But the pioneer spirit is aware right now that there's an amazing new technology frontier for us to explore in our mission to reach people and connect people to God and His church. So those of you who are part of our online campus, I'm making you aware today that we know you're there. And we see you, maybe not physically, but we see you. We see what God's doing in your life, and we see the way you're interacting and responding. And I want to make everyone aware that in this new age that we're living in right now, the average adult spends 4 hours a day on their smartphone. 4 hours a day. 72% of people right now, 72% are within 5 feet of their smartphone at all times. Go ahead. Yep, got it right here. That's the day we're living in. I'm thankful for it. Are you? I'm thankful. We're connecting better than ever, and people are hungry for connection. And almost everyone today's life has become analog and digital. Right here at Champion Center in 2018, our online church service views grew by 77%. 133,000 views, basically. But the thing I want you to notice is that it grew by 77%. It's not going away. And more and more and more people are connecting to us through our online campus from everywhere. They're connecting with us all across the United States, from Alaska to the Southeast, California, Midwest. They're also connecting, and these are real spaces where people are connecting with us. Canada, India, Germany, Australia, United Kingdom, Philippines, China, Japan, all around the world. Here in Washington State, people are connecting to us and part of our online campus who live close in communities all around the region and out in other rural communities and towns, Ellensburg, Cle Elum, Port Orchard, watching us right now, joined in right now. They feel a part of us right now. What we're doing, and this is the vision I'm sharing with you, is rather than argue with it or fight with it or say it's not, you're just not good or whatever, we're saying, okay, what can we do to develop ways to support people who are out there, connect better with people, who want to host a small group, for example, who gets together every week, somewhere out in the state or the north, or wherever they are, to be a part of our weekly service together. There was someone watching in Bellingham, and then they found out other people were watching in Bellingham, and so they got together to watch together and be a part of the campus together. And they wrote us and let us know that they're there and probably there right now and they're watching us and they're a part of, and they're so thankful. So this wouldn't be possible without vision, without people who are seeing the possibilities. We have 25 local team members. And then what people don't understand is that as part of our online camp, you can interact with the team. You can receive prayer. You can join the team and be part of the team who prays with people who are online. You can literally join small groups and be part of weekly talk it outs online. You can go to Growth Track online, and people are doing that. You can pick our online campus. Say you're 200 miles away, and this is helping you, blessing you, you're identifying with it. You can pick the online campus, and you can give specifically to your online campus, and people are doing that right now. So our last baptism weekend, two people who were watching online got in their cars and drove to the physical campus and got baptized. Somebody shout vision.
Vision.
A guy named Steve watched us online for over a year. Over a year. And then he made a decision to come. And then he ended up joining CR. He ended up going to Growth Track. And one of our team members who knows him told me this week his life, Pastor, has been radically changed. He now has a tattoo, Move Life Forward. That's our friend Steve. It all started with a year at the online campus. So we're developing ways to support people. And if you're watching today from somewhere out there, we're developing, and maybe you're already doing this or part of this, but our vision is to support people who want to host a small group who gets together every week to be part of our weekly service. I just got a note from someone, sent an email this past week, and they said, "Thank you, Pastor Kevin, for the Moving Boundaries series. We're now located in such and such a city, and we have looked for a church where we're at, but it just doesn't feel the same to us. We're praying we can come back and be a part of Champion Center." Now, I could go, well, that's bad, 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 or I could say, you know what? I don't know how to understand that, but I know God connects people with churches, and I know God connects people with other people. And so I've made up my mind, and I want to ask you to come along with us in this vision and to see this vision and to pray over this vision. Because what's interesting, I want to show you how this works out. Imagine 1,000 people watching in the Northwest right now. We could just say our state or two or three states. Imagine. You got it? You got that picture? I think we got a graphic. And 1,000 people are watching, and around us there's small groups at our online campus. OC stands for online campus, and you'll see it out to the right and down below, and we got it there. SG stands for small groups. But I want you to actually notice here, here's the progression that we see happening anywhere and everywhere that God would be at work. And some of you who are on our online campus right now, this is the interesting part, where you may have been wondering how this works for you. Well, imagine that 1,000 people are watching, and out of 1,000 people watching, there's 25 areas where that watching turns into small groups in the next 3 years. The watching turns into, let's get together and watch together. And that small group grows, and then it becomes 30 people, 50 people. And over here, we're monitoring it and managing it, so our team starts going. And some of you would love to go. Our Lead X Experience students are geared up, wired up, want to get out there and make a difference. So we start going. And then it becomes, the small group becomes this extension service, we call it. It's 50. It's 80. It's in a rented room in a hotel or something, a ballroom or a little country store somewhere out in the hills. I don't know. But are you with me? Come on, vision. You with me? Now there's 70 people. Now they're gathering. Now they're having singing. Now they're worshiping together. Now they're having fellowship. Now imagine just in the next 5 years that just, I don't know, five of them? I started with 1,000 people. Is it unreasonable? Five of them in the next 5 years grow to the point that we're saying, we're ready over here on this side of the state. There's 130 people who are gathering together and they are crying out for a local campus. And they want to have one in their community. Do you see the progression? That's the LC. So online campus can lead to small groups, can lead to extension service, can lead to local camp. And then you can see the Great Commission and a way that technology facilitates the Great Commission. Let's be honest. None of you want to go knock on doors and say, hi, I go to Champion Center. And I know you. No, we that don't work well today. People slam doors. They don't want you interrupting them, right? You really don't want to go and stand on a street somewhere and just hand things out, right? I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just trying to tell you there is a way that we can unite around this kind of vision where small groups start developing, and they're developing all around DuPont then, and they go down into Olympia, and they're developing up around Bellevue, and they go up into Redmond, and they go north into Seattle, and small groups, and people gathering it. And then it just evolves, and it began to grow. And then you and I get the joy of knowing that we're not turning our heads, and we haven't become a settlement. We have opened up our hearts, and we have had a vision, and we have thought big, and we have prayed big prayers, and it's making a difference in the great Northwest and beyond. Can anybody get happy about? Somebody shout, go.
Go.
Say it again, go.
Go.
Look at your neighbor on your right, say, let's go.
Let's go.
Look at your neighbor on your left, say, let's go. Come on, that's what the Bible said. Go into all the world, Jesus said. Some of you wonder, okay, Pastor, that's really cool, but I've been wanting to know where our next local campus is. Because I drive right now 45 minutes to church. Okay, I'm going to tell you two areas right now that we are considering. And we're considering it based on the amount of people who live in those general areas and are active in our church and are already gathering in small groups and supporting. One area is to the southeast, and that is the Sumner-Bonnie Lake area. We see you. And the other one is to the northwest in the Gig Harbor Peninsula area. Whoever shouts loudest wins. I just want you to know we see you. And I want you to know that we're watching and we're praying and we're asking God for people that are in these communities and they're willing to stay connected and involved in the church where God put them. But they're also thinking like a pioneer. And they're also saying, boy, if our day would come, I would get behind that. I would support that. I mean, I would be right in the middle of that. And that helps us know where God wants us to go next. Because there's a gap. I call it the vision gap. A vision gap between where we are and where we see God leading us. And first of all, it's leadership. You got to have team members. You got to have people who, you know, they're like, hey, I'll work the parking lot if we get a service over here and a campus over here. I'll help out. I'll do this. And you got to have, you know, teams, and you got to have, there's a resource gap. You got to have finances, right? And I believe God can provide that. And I believe God will provide that through people. But if you're wondering, well, how do we decide where we're going? This is it right here. Pray over it. Pray with us. Be bold about it. And let's think like a pioneer would think. Remember, a pioneer I'm about to wrap up, but a pioneer enters territory that was thought to be unreachable. And we don't know all the possible scenarios that even technology and advancement is providing us. But it's up to us to imagine the possibilities, to think generationally big, which is think three, and to think geographically big. The massive amount of people who are out there and doing our part as God's great church by having a pioneering spirit. I got in a cab in Chicago, and I'd been trying to get Uber, and there was some sort of a battle going on between taxi cab drivers and Uber wasn't allowed, and something was going big time, and I didn't know what was going on, and I couldn't get an Uber car to pick me up, and I got a cab. I waved down a cab, and I jumped in, and one of the first things I said is, I've been trying to get an Uber to pick me, and man, all hell broke loose in that cab. I wasn't thinking, I didn't know what was going on, but he didn't like me, he didn't want to take me. I'm back on my heels now, because cab drivers don't like Uber. Uber represents the new. Uber no good. No. They're not in the establishment. Well, the reason I'm telling you that story is I don't want our church to be like the cab driver. I don't want us to resent the new. I don't want us to decide it's not legitimate. I don't want us to say, well, that's not real church. That's not really, nothing really good happened. We don't determine that. I want us to just leave the potential up to God. And I want us to imagine the possibilities. Is that okay? I don't want our church. Yeah, come on, clap your hand. Don't be the cab driver. Jesus said, old wineskins can't handle new wine. Let's not be the old wineskin. Come on, let's step into the moment. Let's step into this day. And let's do anything short of sin to fulfill the Great Commission. Somebody shout, go. Say it again. Say, go. Jesus said, be witnesses to me. Of me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, into the uttermost part of the earth. And that's what they started doing. They started expanding the territory. They started saying, let's go. Not just Jerusalem, let's go. We're going over to Samaria. Don't go to Samaria, people won't. We're going to Samaria. We're going to Judea. Watch out, world, here we come. We are on our way because we have a pioneering spirit. Can I just tell you, I was 26 years old with a pioneering spirit. I left the people I knew. I left the home that I was in. I left the comfort of all of it. And I came to the Great Northwest and I brought my little daughter. And I have no regrets because there's something about it. We went from Puyallup over to Tacoma. And every time we venture out like that, I wish I could tell you I felt really brave and I'm the man. No, I'm scared. Right now, I don't know what I'm doing half the time. Don't panic. God's in control. But I want you to understand that that's what a pioneer does. Pioneer doesn't wait for the guarantee. Pioneers don't go, well, we're going to be careful. Pioneers don't do that. Can you imagine the Appalachian Mountains just to the west of the east coast of America, and people are settling in Maine, and they're settling in Virginia, and they're settling little settlements, and then they start to look out, and they're looking at those mountains, and they go up the mountains, and they look, and something in them like, what's beyond this mountain? Wonder what's over these mountains. Wonder what's beyond the... And then for years, nobody's going anywhere. But the pioneers started loading up the wagons. They started getting on the horses. And they gathered their kids around them. Well, it's not safe. Okay, it's dangerous. Okay. You never know what's over there. Okay, I don't really know. And that's what I'm trying to tell you today. Half the time, I don't really know. We're not supposed to know. We walk by faith, not by sight. But let's look beyond the mountains. Come on, church, let's look beyond. Anybody with us? Let's look beyond the mountains. Wow, I'm so excited about the days ahead for God's great church. I couldn't be more optimistic. I couldn't be more enthusiastic. And not just for me, I think you heard it announced earlier. Like, we're part of a group called the Ark. 25 churches planted today around the nation with this group called the Ark. We're part of that. Well, Pastor Kevin, it's a big, bad world. It's dangerous, guys. Let's go to the wild. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go where God wants to take us. And let's be that church. Amen? Let's be that church. Mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, pray for us, will you? Have a vision for us. Young people, saddle up your horses. Come on, let's get out here. Let's go. Let's give it our best. Let's move forward. Let's not look back. Let's do something big for God in our lifetime. Amen?
Thank you for listening today. We hope that you enjoyed today's teaching. If you'd like to help support this podcast, give today and help spread messages all over the world. Download our app and select Give or go to cc.church/give. Thanks and have a great week.